My name is Jamie Atkinson, founder of podcastclosing.com, and this show is built for 6 and 7 figure entrepreneurs with podcasts who are looking to grow and scale their customer acquisition using that show. If you're a 6 or 7 figure entrepreneur with a podcast and you want to get featured on this show to talk about your own podcast journey, go to top100interview.com. Now over to your glamorous host, Brittany Chaterbuck, and don't forget to subscribe for daily interview content.
Sarah, let's talk about the importance of, you know, PR for your brand. I mean, why is it so, so crucially important to have that third party credibility?
Good question. So I've always been a big fan of PR. I've kind of been a PR hound my whole life. It's really shown me over the years what the power of it can do. But more recently, there's been a lot of articles coming out in investigations actually starting to happen with people's online reviews, more in the product world. I think where, you know, you can leave a 5-star review or whatever with a little comment, I love your skincare product. And that people are questioning whether those are friends and family or actually real people versus Amazon. You have to be a verified purchaser to leave a review. So it's a little bit more credible in a sense. You could get your friends to purchase stuff and leave reviews for you, give you the product back, let you resell it. I mean, there's lots of ways around all that. But I think that in general, going forward in 2024, that it's going to be even more important to have the third party credibility. And what I mean is magazines, blogs, being on podcasts, you know, maybe even having a celebrity use your product if you have a product company. And it's a little harder with celebrities with service based. I mean, I've seen it done. It's just a little, the tactics are a little different. But I think going after publicity, whether it's, you know, business magazines, Inc. or Forbes, or like I said, various business podcasts where you can get the word out, talk about yourself, your business, or the fashion magazines, if you have a product, you know, any kind of men's, women's gift, whatever your product line is. And so I think that going forward, having those levels of credibility is going to really make a difference in people's brands even more than it has once these articles become a little bit more proof in the, you know, proof worthy. And if they do, you know, I think a lot of it is more medical field. You know, I think that's what sort of spurred these ideas. You know, if you're going to get a hip replacement, you want to know the guys, like really the people saying, hey, I love my hip replacement was real and not some hack, right?
100%. Less on the line there, right?
Exactly. I mean, you know, you're buying some skincare product, you know, it might not work the same for you as somebody else, but, you know, and also I think video testimonials from people are super going to be even more important in the coming future. The commentary, you know, if you post a testimonial from somebody on Instagram and you get other clients who, you know, making comments, you know, which unsolicited, right? It's always makes you feel so good. Oh, I'm so glad you feel that way too, right? And so, and then you're like, oh, maybe I should ask them for a testimonial. So trying to, you know, notice like who's commenting, who's, you know, supporting you and really cheering you on. And then when you do get some press for yourself, it's really up to you at that point to go to town with it. Like a lot of people will say, oh, I got, you know, I was in a magazine, but I didn't really get any sales from it or, you know, inquiries if it was a service-based company. But my first thing is, did you do anything with the press? Well, no, shouldn't it be generating, you know, interest in my brand on its own? No. So it can, but at the same time, what I want to share is how much you really need to go after that yourself. Like if you are a product-based company, you need to get that good news, right? Out on your social. Obviously, everybody would probably do that automatically, but you should always brag about yourself. Get it up on your website. You should have a press page. If you go after celebrities, you should have a celebrity page. And then really sending it out to, if you're service-based, making sure your emails go out to your clients or potential clients, right?
On top, being on top of it all.
Yeah. If you're a product-based company, maybe you offer a special on that product to people on your list, or maybe you post a special on social. And if you're product-based and you're trying to get into stores, that is a step forward for you, right? You can say, oh, hey, store buyers, look, we're in, you know, this
New
magazine,
York Times,
right?
Forbes.
Yeah.
Right. I've been on
and,
his podcast.
And so it just keeps building those levels of credibility, but you have to be the one to push it big time. If you just, you know, are like, oh yeah, I did my piece, there's my article, woo, right? It doesn't really, it can just sit there. Not that many people can see it, you know, as you want them to, or the right people, you know, if it's on, if people are only scrolling Instagram, they're going to miss that Forbes article that just went by. You know, it's
exactly.
Just right place, right time. But if you're out there pushing it, constantly emailing and texting people or whatever you need to do to promote that, that is really what the key, I think, to successful PR is.
Yeah. And it's a long-term game, really, right? Mm-hmm. And I mean, if you're doing it properly, like you're saying, like you're able to attract higher and better opportunities. I mean, you know, because you're going to be seen as that, you're going to be positioned as that expert in your field, you know, reaching more aligned people. If you're doing it correctly, of course, like you said, you got to do the emails and be put in the right place. But, you know, I think also if you're, it is so important to have that third party credibility, because you are going to be able to attract people like higher paying clients, or, you know, higher quality ones, which is
yes.
incredible, because they're viewing you as this expert.
Exactly.
Yeah. So this is incredible. And then like at that point, you can kind of look at business and see, okay, well, maybe it's time to increase my prices, or maybe, you know, switch some things up. But with that third party credibility, you're able to do that and be successful with it.
Yes.
If you're doing it the right way.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, celebrities and business. I mean, Sarah, you have actually worked with celebrities within your own business. And I just want to touch on that because I think it's so cool. You know, how were you able to like run into these celebrities and actually like begin to work with them?
Well, I wish I could say I ran into them, but it was actually
yeah, so
outreach.
Of course.
When I worked in film, yes, I did. When I did costumes for movies right out of college, I did run into and meet and talk to and work with a lot of big celebrities. But when I launched my handbag line, I didn't even occur to me to go after celebrities because nobody was doing it back then. And once I realized that that was a great way to go, and that it was, I could be a pioneer sort of in this field, it's really a question of looking at who aligns with your brand, right? Mm-hmm. Even if you are an artist, for example, and you make beautiful drawings or, you know, things that you could share with anybody, right? If it relates to a specific celebrity, or you know that they like that kind of art, or you wrote a book and you want to get them your book because it was a self-help book and they're super into self-help and talk about it all the time on the news, or whatever you can find, you know, they love jewelry and you make jewelry. So you're going to, you know, they're going to love the necklace you want to send them. So it doesn't matter what the product or the service is. If you can find people and find a way to relate to them, mm-hmm. so that they're not just kind of a piece of meat that you're, you know, that you actually like are genuinely connecting, trying to connect with them as a human, because they are people, right? They just happen to be famous for a living. So finding a way to connect with them and then reaching out to their gatekeepers, do not DM them on Instagram. You can go to contact@celebrity.com. You can pay, it's a small fee, you know, $50 or something for the month. And you can get, you know, if you have your list of potential celebs, you could fill in your Google Sheets or Excel doc in probably a few hours. You know, if you don't want to keep paying for the service, you could just do a 1 month version. And then you've got all your contacts, you can write your pitch letters, send it. And, you know, they're usually very responsive, that the gatekeepers, especially the PR and the managers, that's kind of their job, is to get back to people on behalf of the client, you know, as well as looking for great opportunities. It can be a little tougher if you're asking for sponsorship or a, you know, charitable contribution, or, hey, let's raise money together. Some people will be very responsive to that. Others want money up front. It just depends. It's kind of a case by case. Don't sit around trying to figure it out before, you know, just go for it and then deal with it when it happens, whatever they throw at you. You just kind of have to think fast on your feet. You're all entrepreneurs. You can pivot. And then you just sort of see what it needs situation by situation. And when you can get a celebrity on board, it can really make a huge difference.
Well, that credibility, right?
That credibility. Yeah.
Yeah. And it stands out. It truly stands out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. People want to emulate or be like their favorite celebrities or famous person. You know, I mean, somebody could say they want to be, you know, like a CEO of a corporation that they admire or something too. It doesn't have to just be a movie star celebrity. It could be, you know, people, when Sheryl Sandberg was, you know, head of Facebook, people wanted to get stuff to her because she was on camera all the time. I want her to wear my clothes, my earrings, my jewelry, my handbag, right? Mm-hmm. You know, maybe other people were pitching her with, you know, I don't know, psychological book ideas or something, right? But it doesn't matter who the person is, as long as they resonate with something that has to do with you and your business.
Well, and I think when it comes to like that pitching part of things, like there's so much noise out there. There's so many other things that they could choose, right? What would you say is the number one thing when it comes to like making you stand out? Like, you know, of course the resonating part, but any, even deeper, is there anything else that you would suggest, Sarah?
Well, so I think trying to really investigate who they are as a person, like Ryan Reynolds, for example, Glenn Close has a mental health company that she started. He's spoken at her mental health. If you're into mental health, like I was researching this for a client, so I stumbled upon all of this. I didn't even know that either one of them was involved in this. I didn't even know Glenn Close had a mental health company. And so you start to uncover layers as you do some more Google research. So it's, you know, if you work in the mental health world and you want to, you know, get in touch with Glenn Close because you want to do a charity fundraiser with her, you want to be part of her next fundraiser, or maybe she does, silent auctions or something, and you have jewelry you want to stick in there for whatever she's doing. You know, it's investigating those things along the way. It could be a year out or 6 months out, but if you start to do the work and you're like, oh, okay, well, Ryan Reynolds was honored for being at her event. What was he honored for? Oh, maybe my blah, blah would be good for him or his family, or, oh, he's married to Blake Lively. I've got some jewelry I want to get to her, you know,
right.
So you kind of start to go down these paths where you can write a heartfelt email, you know, like, okay, I have a turquoise necklace on my sister gave me. It's supposed to protect you. So maybe somebody's super into turquoise and wears turquoise all the time, and you're a turquoise jewelry designer, and you're like, I'm going to get them that because they're super into turquoise. It's all about protection. What do they want to be protected from? And then you can kind of go down these, you know, I call it the Google rabbit hole.
Right.
So you go down your Google rabbit hole and you can start to put the pieces together, because you can kind of find out pretty much anything about people if you get deep enough into the search. And then you can put together a pitch that actually relates to that topic or subject or issue or whatever it is that you're going after. So that's why I'm saying, like, you have to relate to them as a real person, even though there could be a superstar and, you know, all you do is see them 10 feet tall on the big screen, right? But they're just people. Like, they have a heart and feelings and get stomach aches and whatever, just like you do.
You know? Yeah. And I think that's a lot of the time we're afraid to, you know, relate to them as a person, or we forget like the value in being relatable or like personalized. Right. And yeah, if you can come up with something, like you said, like if the person you're trying to, you know, connect with is wearing turquoise, well, then put something together that, you know, resembles that.
Yeah.
And it's personalized. It's not like every other pitch. Like, you know how many pitches they're already getting, you know? right. So it's huge. This is huge.
Yeah. I mean, like, I have clients right now who are super into saving the bees. Some of the girls I work with, one of them has a skincare line that's made with honey and extracts of bee venom and stuff to plump up your lips. Then there's another one who is saving bees and has like honey and bees all over her bathing suits. So then, of course, you know, you're like, okay, well, skincare is a little harder to get to celebrities. A lot of them have deals that we don't even know about overseas,
right,
and do commercials and stuff.
But right.
For bathing suits, then it's like, okay, well, who's into bees? Who wears a bathing suit? Who gets shot, you know, on the beach? with a, you know, by the paparazzi, not a gun, who's, you know, who's out there in a bikini all the time, right, at the beach. And is it some famous person's wife? Is it the famous person herself? Is, you know, so looking at how you can tie these things together and make an approach that feels personal.
So key. Now, Sarah, wish our episodes were longer, but I really want to make sure we have enough time to dive in again, like we did last episode, and give you a little bit of time and space to talk about what you do and, sure, you know, the best way for people to connect with you. And of course, any last words, and please take your time. We've got we've got 5-10 minutes left, and I just want to make sure we have enough time to really go in deeper than we did last time, so everyone really has a good idea of how you could help them.
Sure. So I mostly work with product-based designers, helping them and teaching them how to get their products into stores, boutiques. I don't really touch department stores these days. And how to pitch yourself to the media, how to make yourself appealing, what to say, you know, how to craft those pitches, and also how to work with celebrities and get their products to celebrities. And it's really, there's a rhythm to it and a system that is really important to follow. I think what happens with a lot of entrepreneurs, especially product designers, is they get so caught up in the design and the manufacturing and the photo shoots and, you know, all the things that go into what you actually see in the store, right, at the end, you know, oh, this packaging is so cute. Well, that took probably like 2 years to get into the making or something, right? They don't just kind of whip it up and, you know, slap it out there. There's a lot that goes into it. So what I found a lot on my own journey with my own product lines is that often those things get forgotten all of a sudden. Like for me, I was like, oh my gosh, I've got a show in 2 months. I haven't even started designing the line yet. You know, I didn't have a system down, and it took me a while to realize that system, you know, having systems in place for any kind of business is really the key to success, in my opinion, because I always hated waking up on Monday and not knowing what I was supposed to be doing. And
oh my gosh. Yes. And can everyone relate to that?
Yes. I think anyone can, right? Who's serious about building their business, because you're just like, oh my God, freak out on fire. It's Monday. And, you know, sometimes you're thinking, should I be sending an email to my list? Should I be writing a blog? Should I be doing some interviews? Like, who am I going to be pitching this week? You know, God, you know, and I think it can be that panic mode that just, you know, the walls come down for most people. Down. I know they have for me personally many times, where you're just like, I'm going to just go to bed and I'll deal with this tomorrow. Right. It's kind of like how people say, do the thing you are most afraid of first thing in the morning and just get it out of the way.
Get it out of the way. Otherwise, we're just, you know, I totally resonate when you say, I'm just going to go to bed and deal with it tomorrow. Yeah. Like, when your mind is going in a million different directions and you can't even, you know, there's a lot to do and there's so many different things going on. It's so stressful. You're like, okay, I can't even focus. I just need to go to bed. And sometimes that's the best thing to do. Like,
a super scattered mind is so hard to calm. And it's kind of like how, you know, people think, oh, if you're a multitasker, you're so good at everything, right? Well, forget it, right? You got to chunk things down. Yeah. Your brain really can't function at top capacity when you're doing more than one thing. You know, like the only thing I let myself do, if I have to make an appointment or do something, I will let the phone be on hold while I'm waiting, and then I'll answer some emails. But I would never write a blog or do something that took a ton of concentration or creativity at that point, because I know that there's like the hold music going on.
Right.
Or in your ears, right?
And you're just waiting for them to pick up. And it's exactly. Like, that's distracting, right?
Right. And so, you know, you have to, or maybe you're doing a social post or you're going to social media and answering people's, you know, comments and doing things like that when you're on hold. Something that doesn't take a ton of creativity and brain power. I think you can do things like, I can personally do things like that. I've kind of worked that out to separate the hold from my brain on simple tasks. But I think that one thing that really helped me, and I think helps a lot of my clients, is we give them a marketing plan for the year, like tell them what every single month what they should be thinking about doing. So whether, you know, if you have a product-based company, what you do in January, what magazines are looking for, what you're pitching, what your online shoppers would be buying, right? It's the same thing if, as me as a service provider, right, in January, oh, new year, new you. People want to get things going, right?
Yeah.
So what are your podcasts about that you're doing, or what, you know, because some people just have their own podcast and just talk about stuff, right? So you could do that if you write blogs or do, you know, video blogs or whatever that you're talking about, sending newsletters. I think it really helps to kind of jot things down 2 or 3 months in advance. And then at the, you know, maybe like the third week of each month, you can look at the next month. I like to do a couple months at a time. I don't really like that pressure of, oh my God, I've got to get to, you know, get to this. It's the, you know, the 20th of the month that I got to think about next month. That to me panics me a little. So yeah. I like to sit down, take some, like, one day, just lay out all of the emails or ideas if I'm launching something or I want to pitch an idea or something like that, right? Kind of planning your social media pitches, you know, or posts, what you're going to pitch to your online email, you know, campaigns. What if, are you going to do any press releases? Are you, you know, what are you doing with your company so that you, at least you get it out and you have an outline for yourself. And then I think it's easier to come back. Oh, I want to talk about this topic, you know, the first week of January. And then, you know, I need to send out 4 or 8 emails, whatever you do, right? 2 or 1 or 2 a week. And then, I mean, some of you, I know, send them daily. I don't. but it's, you know, what could those topics be? How do you break down the theory for that week, right? Make it everything into little chunks and bite-sized pieces so that it's not overwhelming, right? You want to kind of write about one short topic. I think maybe one big paragraph is really all people will read in an email these days, and that you want to have it be light and easy to read that people can just consume in like under 10 seconds, 15 seconds at the most. Sad to say, but that's kind of what I think the state of the world is in. And that you know, that you've got something that means something to people, right? And that it's easier for you, so you're not freaking out on Monday morning.
Right, right. So crucial, because, you know, when Friday comes, you're like, oh, I'm so exhausted. I'm just going to, yeah, close the laptop and go to sleep or go for a drink or whatever it might be, right? And then by Monday, Sunday rolls around and you're like, if you don't have something, a system in place or organized, Monday's just going to be like
crazy. Freak out.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And same with like your New Year's resolution, January, same thing. So anyways, I don't want to take away from you. Please continue. Any last words before we jump off here? And of course, don't forget the best way to connect with you.
Yes. Okay. The best way to connect with me is to go to sarahshawconsulting.com. You can also reach me there, Instagram or Facebook. Feel free to book a call with me. I have a book now button everywhere. Love to talk to you about your business. And I just want to leave you with this, that consider thinking about how you could reach out to magazines or podcasters or whatever, however you want to pitch yourself, whatever you feel comfortable with. Some people don't feel comfortable talking on a podcast, then don't do it. Don't let people talk you into things that don't feel right to you. So whether it's, you know, being behind the camera and just talking or writing something, getting ways to get yourself out there and get yourself known more in the spotlight. Because the more in the spotlight you are, the more people are obviously going to see you. They'll get to know you, and that kind of net know, like, and trust factor that we all work so hard for becomes more apparent. And I think that PR and publicity in next year is going to be really important to keep that trust going with people. So would encourage you to do that and have fun with it and just put together a list that sounds like a good opportunity for you and go for it.
100%. And Sarah, I'm right there with you. Like, I think PR is so, so crucial to have within a business if you want to be, you know, positioned as that expert and, you know, have that credibility. That's going to attract more quality people to you. That's going to do a lot for your business. So absolutely amazing. I'm so glad you were able to come on today with your expertise. I mean, you've been doing all kinds of stuff like this for a very long time. You've worked with celebrities. You're just absolutely incredible. So thank you so much, Sarah, for coming on 2 times. I appreciate you.
My pleasure.
And group, go ahead and connect with Sarah. Everything will be in the show notes. So just click the links of where to find her and go book a call. And if you listened to this episode and enjoyed it, please like and subscribe. If you're 6, 7, or 8-figure entrepreneur and want to come on just like Sarah Shaw did today, please go to www.podcastrebels.com. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Sarah. Catch you on the next episode.
Yeah.
Hey everyone, I hope you really enjoyed that episode. As always, if you want to listen to more daily interview content, make sure you subscribe. And here's three ways I can help you in your business for free. One, check out my video on how we're building a pipeline that produces 30 plus prime sales calls every single week using podcast setters and a basic interview funnel. And this is actually how I was able to quit social media forever. You can go to podcastrebels.com/setters. Two, if you're a 6 or 7-figure entrepreneur with a podcast, we actually want to interview you on one of our top 100 shows. Head to top100interview.com. And then three, download our podcast closing formula. It shows you how to create a podcast sales team that books out your sales calendar each week using the podcast closing client attraction method. And you can go to podcastrebels.com/podcast formula. Now at podcastclosing.com, we help 6 and 7-figure entrepreneurs with podcasts create a system for predictable client acquisition without relying on paid advertising or social media by building out podcast sales teams. Now, if you want help turning your podcast into a high-ticket client acquisition machine, then book a call with our team to see how we can help. Go to podcastrebels.com/chat. All right, guys, we'll see you in the next interview.